Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and that our eyes may be opened, that we may see wonderful things in your word, that we may be drawn ever closer to your Son. For his name's sake, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, last Thursday was Ascension Day. And on Thursday night, at the end of what was a memorable and a moving service in Raphoe, Bishop Ken Good laid down his crozier, his bishop's staff, on the Holy Communion table and retired as Bishop of Derry and Raphoe. So the affairs of the diocese are now going to be in other hands. The Archdeacon of Derry, Robert Miller, will be the commissary in place of the bishop and assisted, not very ably, by me as the Archdeacon of Raphoe. And together we'll try to keep the show on the road until a new bishop will be elected, which will be in, hopefully, the end of August. So it's a time of change and uncertainty in our diocese, and we need to look to the Lord and to pray for that whole process of appointing a successor. And of course, we need to give thanks for Bishop Ken and Mary and all that they did over the 17 years that they were with us. And I want to focus on that passage from Hebrews chapter 4 because it has great things to say to us in a time of change. And it's on page 1204 in the Church Bibles. Because there's so much change all around us. I mean, it's not just this change, which was expected, but there's much change, and change that we don't always have control over or know what to do about. There is all around us the changing technology, which affects our lives. There's the changing culture, where beliefs and attitudes are different from what they were when we grew up. The changing climate that we're increasingly worried about and wondering what we'll do to solve it. And then in our own lives individually, our health can change very quickly. And we face the challenges of illness or aging and, of course, death. Somebody has said that the only thing that ever stays the same is change. Or to put it a different way, the one thing you can be certain of is uncertainty. And that's a good saying, although it's not entirely true because there are other things that we can be sure of, and most especially, we can be sure of the Lord. Do you remember what our verse is for this year, the motto that we set out at the beginning of January? Well, here at the beginning of June, good time to remind ourselves. It says, Jesus Christ is, what is it? Help me, I've forgotten. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. From Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Actually, the whole book of Hebrews is written to people facing change and uncertainty and difficulty. It was written to Christians years and years ago who were feeling great pressure from inside and from outside, and they were tempted to give up and throw in the towel. And the writer, who we don't even know who it was, may have been Paul or some other apostle. He doesn't give his name, but says, don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. And in this lovely passage, he gives one great fact and two great encouragements. And the great fact is this: we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. It's a great fact that he sets out for us. We have a great high priest. Now, I don't know when you hear the word priest, you know, what you think of it. Probably the image in our mind is of someone, you know, with a clerical collar and going around taking services and blessing people and so on and so forth. And, you know, maybe in the past, you know, a very impressive figure, or maybe less so. Well, in the Old Testament, which is the background to this, the priests were highly important, and particularly the high priest. And here's the reason why, because the high priest was the only person who could go into the presence of God, into the temple, the innermost part of that holy building, and go right into, as it were, the throne room of God and bring sacrifices there on behalf of the people. So no one else could go into the Holy of Holies. So the high priest was this extremely important link between the people and God. And once a year, he would go up into the temple on behalf of the people. But it was all a foreshadowing. It was all looking ahead to the great high priest. And that, of course, is Jesus. Because Jesus made a greater journey than those old high priests. Jesus went not into a temple on earth, but into heaven at the ascension. He went into the actual throne room of God, carrying not the blood of a goat or a lamb as a sacrifice, but bringing his own blood that he shed on the cross. A greater journey. And also he has a greater sympathy for us. That verse 15 says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses." Those high priests in the Old Testament, some of them were very good, some of them were very bad, but all of them are human. But we have a high priest who's more than human. He is human, he's been tempted in every way, and yet he's God, and he's overcome every temptation. He can sympathize. So here is this wonderful high priest who came down to earth so he could sympathize with us. He went up to heaven so he could atone for us. And we look to him and we love him. And he's the real head of the church. You say, oh, now the bishop's gone. Who's in charge of the church? Jesus is in charge of the church. It's not going to be a problem. He has been in charge from the beginning. He's still in charge now. He will be to the end. The rest of us, the likes of myself, we're just a little, as the Bible says, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then is gone. And there will be people before us and people after us. But Jesus is on the throne. Praise the Lord. He is the real head of the church. So there's the great fact. There's a high priest who's in heaven. And here's the two encouragements. Hold firmly and approach confidently. So let's have a quick look at those. First of all, hold firmly. He says there at the end of verse 14, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Do you know, at times of difficulty and of change and uncertainty in our own lives, it is tempting sometimes to let go of our faith. So maybe an illness comes seemingly out of nowhere, and we're really knocked off course by that. And we think, oh, maybe God's not there. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's given up on me. Maybe he doesn't exist at all. And our faith, we lose grip on it. Or maybe we look and we see the world around us changing, and we see beliefs and behaviors that are far away from the Bible. And we're tempted to think, maybe we'll just close that up and just put that away and we'll change to some other message. Or maybe we face ridicule because of our faith, you know, and people say, what do you still go to church? What, in this day and age? Or you go to that church? You know, and we're tempted just to keep a very low profile and say, oh no, well, I'll just keep it all to myself. Keep very quiet. But opening the Bible up again, because I'm not putting it away. By God's help, I never will. He says, hold firmly to the faith. Hold firmly to the faith. One of the things that we love to do in the summer when we go usually over to England and visit the grandparents is we love to go to this particular little theme park. It's just a small one. And there are some great roller coasters there, though. And we love to ride on the roller coasters. Well, I kind of hate it and I love it at the same time. You know what I mean? But when you're on the roller coaster and it's going around really, really fast and it's getting scary, and you're kind of that kind of terror comes upon you, what's the best thing to do? Is that a good moment to get out of the carriage? It wouldn't be the best plan, would it? It would make things considerably worse if you did. No, the only thing you can do is hold on tight. Yeah? hold on tight until the thing comes to an end. You don't get out, you don't bail out because it's twisting and turning and scary. You hold on tight. So it is with our faith. When things get twisty and turning, when things get difficult, and when illness comes or financial pressure or hardship or some worrying thing or stress or whatever it is, we don't bail out, we hold tight. Hold tight. And we hold tight with joy. Sometimes when we talk about, you know, holding firmly to the faith and, you know, kind of really, you know, sticking to the Bible and all of this, it can sound a bit like it's sort of fundamentalism and kind of joyless and kind of just all very serious. But there's a joy in holding firmly to the faith. The Roman Catholic Archbishop of Armagh there, Eamon Martin, is a man who says a lot of interesting things. And he said recently, we need to have a more joyful way of speaking about the faith. And I think he's quite right. We need to hold firmly to what's here, but we need to speak joyfully about it. A less learned person once said that Christianity is like butter because it doesn't spread well if it's cold. And our task is to hold on to the faith and to spread the faith, and that'll happen when we do so joyfully and warmly. And we have great opportunities to share and spread the faith. So hold firmly and then approach confidently. That's the last of the encouragements which is here. Here's what he says, lovely verse. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How do you approach God's throne? Well, it means by prayer, of course. Yeah, it means we come to him in our prayers. And what a great invitation. The door is open. He says, come in and bring your needs and I will hear. He's ready to receive our prayers. Think how difficult it is in life sometimes to get help, to get access to help. Our medical health services are so stretched and overburdened, no fault to the people working in them. But it can be so hard to get an appointment. Maybe some of you have had the experience of being on a waiting list for months or years, and you think, will I ever get to the top of the list? And it's a long time. But God is accessible immediately. We can come straight to him, and you will be heard, and you will find help. I can testify to that, to times when the burden and the busyness can get on top of you, and that I need to go back to basics and draw near to God and find grace. And maybe that's a word for some of you. God is ready to give timely help to those in need. He is able to supply all our needs. He is able to bring help and blessing. And sometimes, of course, we need to uphold one another in prayer. There are times when the burdens of life mean that it becomes very difficult to pray. And sometimes we need others to hold us up in that moment. And that's an important task and calling. So maybe you're thinking this week, how will I get through this week? How will I face the challenges that I have? How will I deal with a loss that I have? How will I pay the bills? How will I carry on? Well, approach the throne of grace. Take up that invitation. Come to God. Or in our church, we worry, how will we fare now with our bishop gone? Or how will we keep our parishes going? How will we hold on to our young people? How will we reach out to others with the love of Christ? And we're worried about it. The Bible says, approach the throne of grace and he will help us. Or we look at our world, political turmoil, confusion, and conflict. And we wonder, what is to be done? Approach the throne of grace. Come to him and ask for help. The ascended Jesus sends us out to do his work in the world. But first he calls us in to receive the help we need. So let's hold firmly to our faith and let's draw near with confidence.